Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast with Pastor Paul White. This five-minute podcast is designed to reveal to you the loveliness of our Lord Jesus.
Grace and peace to you, my podcast friends. I'm reading from my book, Grace. I'm sorry, the chapter is Grace, Revolution, or Rebellion, and the book is called Revelation to Transformation. I need to get my R words correct here. I'm in the bottom of page 69. This is chapter 7, asking the question, grace, revolution, or rebellion? To see grace as a rebellion would require by definition that we defy all rules and regulations simply because they exist. We would answer to no one and recognize no authority, for we would deem authority as part of the problem. We would purposely run opposite of religion just because we can. Anything that others say they cannot do, we would do, just to show them that we could. The very spirit behind using this and calling it grace is not one of discovery, and it in no way shines glory on Jesus. This is rebellion in its basest form. In other words, this is not the message of grace. Please note, there is a difference between chasing grace for what it gives and chasing it for who grace is. Remember, grace is not a doctrine or a philosophy. It is a person, and his name is Jesus, John 1:17. To use grace is to use Jesus. He must always be glorified and lifted. So any message that draws attention to us instead of him cannot truly be the message of grace. It is Jesus, not a message, that makes us who we are. The reason that grace revolts against religion in favor of relationship is because relationship is a unique quality about which no other religion can boast. We are in no way on par with the other religions of the world, for we have what they cannot have. It is the fact that God became a man and bore the sins of the world, sacrificing himself so that all who believe by faith could have the very Spirit of God live in them for eternity, that makes our walk so unique. Jesus, not moral codes or ceremony, makes us different. His life inside of us makes us joint heirs with him before the Father. As sons, we belong to a family, not a religion. And no other faith on the planet can say that. Paul knew that living in liberty was going to be a challenge, because so much of our very nature runs opposite to the idea of a finished work. He opens the fifth chapter of Galatians with, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Stand fast means that it will be a challenge just to stay in the freedom of Christ. His warning against being entangled again denotes that the believer used to be entangled in something, and we should watch out against being in it again. Well, that's the key, Pastor Paul. The Apostle Paul is warning that the believer about being is warning the believer about being entangled in sin now that they've been saved. Well, I wholeheartedly disagree. Read the verses that come between our key text, 5:14, and the one that opens this chapter. At no point do you hear Paul mention anything about believers sinning, but you do hear him talk a lot about believers returning to the work of circumcision and the law. We will deal with some of these verses in more detail in a moment, but know that the bondage that Paul is warning us about is the bondage of trusting works for our righteousness. Well, if Paul is warning us about works placing us under bondage, why does he say again, before you get saved, you aren't under the bondage of works, you're free to do whatever? Well, actually, you're free to do whatever now that you're saved. However, we know that doing whatever might bring reproach to the name of Jesus, shame to us and our families, and lead to legal and social consequences we can never take away. Some argue against preaching radical grace because they fear this message gives people a license to sin. My response is that you sinned like crazy before you came to Christ and no one gave you a license. Let's not put more confidence in our ability to tell people how to live than we do in the power of God's grace to change them. Reader, be perfectly honest with yourself. You wouldn't be reading this book if you had figured out how to change yourself, right? We all need God's grace to teach us how to live because we're doing a terrible job of it through our own works. Concerning the rest of the question, Paul says again, because contrary to popular belief, even the sinner is living and functioning under the law in one way or the other. Due to our widespread teaching of the law, particularly in America, most every sinner is law conscious in how they govern themselves. Don't believe me? Ask the average sinner on the street how to get to heaven, and he will invariably respond with some form of law or works. You'll hear things like, treat others the way you want to be treated, don't steal or kill or commit adultery, give to charity, or do your best to be a good person. All of these responses completely omit God's grace. The law consciousness that we have created causes people a world of guilt and condemnation. Granted, most unbelievers don't live under near as much of this as many believers because the sinner doesn't have the guilt and condemnation reinforced in him on a weekly basis like most churchgoers do. Also, notice that the knowledge of morality has in no way helped people live better. In fact, few could disagree that the morality of America has actually decreased, even though there are more churches and more preaching than ever. I'll stop there and pick up tomorrow on the bottom of page 71 from our book, Revelation to Transformation.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Podcast. For more information on our ministry, visit www.paulwhiteministries.org.